Welcome to the Interior Health Nursing Grand Rounds, a podcast conversation. I am your host, Allison Thomas, and on this podcast, we talk all things nursing and healthcare. I work as the clinical nurse specialist in the Trauma Services Network in Interior Health. Interior Health would like to recognize and acknowledge the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Dakal Dene, Tanaha, Ingla Katma, Shawepam, Statliam, Sioux, and Chicoltean nations, where we live, learn, collaborate, and work together.
I am so happy today to introduce you to my colleague, Jadine. Jadine, I'll actually just ask you to go ahead and introduce yourself and maybe tell us a little bit about your nursing background.
Awesome. My name is Jadine. I am a clinical nurse specialist of the renal program. I started my nursing, actually in Penticton. I worked medical cardiac there. After I tried my hand at surgical nursing, worked plastic thoracics, but in Kelowna. After that, I wanted to go on a little adventure. So I actually went travel nursing. I went to Manitoba, worked there and Northern BC. I decided I love Kelowna so much. I came back and did cardiac nursing here at KGH. I love cardiac nursing. I love the skills, all of that. Night shifts weren't doing so well for my body anymore. And I was kind of looking for some more education. The hemodialysis specialty education came up. I applied. I got in. I started working hemodialysis for a while. The educator position for hemo came up. I applied for that. I was the educator in hemodialysis. And then the clinical nurse specialist role came up in the renal program. And here we are.
Amazing. Such a breadth of experience, and you really understand our region really well. It's so great to have you. Thanks for sharing your expertise with us today.
Awesome. Thank you.
Maybe can we start with a really basic question, Jadine? And so what do normal kidneys do in a healthy person? What is the role of the kidney? Can you just refresh us from our physiology lectures and just fill it in for us a little bit?
Yeah, great question. So there are three primary functions of the kidneys: regulatory, metabolic hormone production, and excretory. I'm just going to say it in layman's terms: filter, fluid, and function. So When I talk about filtering for the kidneys get rid of substances and also reabsorb substances that we might need. So the kidneys will get rid of waste products like creatinine and urea. It will also help balance our acid base in our blood through hydrogen and bicarbonate excretion and reabsorption. It will get rid of and filter out medications, and it will balance very important electrolytes. Mm-hmm. In renal, we often talk about potassium and sodium, which is really related to cardiac function. We also talk about calcium and phosphate, and they are really related to bone health and the parathyroid. And then from filter, we talk about fluid. So in a healthy kidney, the kidneys will actually get rid of excess fluid, and it will also help reabsorb fluid, like when we're dehydrated. This function is super important to cardiac, cardiovascular health, and relates to blood pressure and all of those fun things. When I talk about formation, the kidneys are actually involved in a lot of metabolic hormone production, but I'll talk about the three most common feedback loops. So the kidneys actually create something called erythropoietin. This helps create hemoglobin. But when the kidneys can't do this, you might get something called anemia. The other thing that the kidneys help create, it helps activate vitamin D. Bioactive vitamin D will help absorb calcium from the gut, and again, plays a role in bone health, your parathyroid. The other thing that the kidneys make is something called ghrelin, and this is in the RAS feedback loop as it relates to blood pressure. So When your kidneys feel like they aren't getting enough blood, and specifically oxygen from that blood, they will release ghrelin and increase your blood pressure. Yeah. So there are two very dynamic little jelly beans, and they interact with a lot of systems.
Yeah. Really important to, exactly as you say, everything else going on in our body, right? They're very small, very needy little organs, and they're really important for us, hey? So how about, we know that people have kidney disease. So how do kidneys get damaged or get diseased?
Yeah, that is a good question. So I like to kind of think of it, the kidneys can get damaged quickly or slowly.
Okay.
So when I talk about getting quickly damaged, I talk about acute kidney injury. Mm-hmm. This normally is reversible, which is great, as long as we treat the cause. So there are three different kinds of acute kidney injury. The first and most common is pre-renal. So this is normally anything from the heart to the kidneys. It normally has to do with low blood pressure or shock, something like that. Mm-hmm. But the other kind of acute kidney injury is intrarenal. So this is anything that actually damages the kidneys themselves. So some examples would be rhabdo or nephrotoxic medications. Mm-hmm. Like I think about NSAIDs and certain antibiotics or contrast dye, something that would touch the kidneys and the kidney tissues don't like it. The other one, a little less common, but still notable, is anything post-renal. So from the kidneys through the ureters out. So I kind of think about a large prostate cancer or kidney stone, something that blocks the urine from getting out the body. Mm-hmm. Which would be a post-renal acute kidney injury. As long as we treat the cause and catch it early, normally reversible. Where chronic kidney disease isn't actually considered reversible, and this happens over time. So the most two common causes of chronic kidney disease is diabetes and uncontrolled diabetes and high blood pressure. Over time, these two things, they damage the tissues of the kidneys and the filtering abilities of the kidneys. There are some other genetic factors and other factors, but diabetes and high blood pressure are the most common. And the treatment for this is actually stopping the progression of chronic kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do we go about diagnosing chronic kidney disease? And is there anything that we can have nurses be on the lookout for as, signs and symptoms that someone's kidneys are becoming diseased?
Yeah, that is a good question. So this is normally diagnosed by a doctor or a nephrologist, which is a kidney doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Very common for them to look at something called eGFR, an estimated glomerular filtration rate. This is a blood test that will see how well the kidneys are filtering. So there are different stages of chronic kidney disease from 1 to 5. From stages 1 to 4, a very important focus for people in this group or nurses working with patients in this group is to avoid stage 5. Luckily, most people who do changes in lifestyle, control diabetes and their blood pressure will not move on to stage 5, which is super positive. Once you get to stage 5, it theoretically means that your kidneys are not working anymore. People in this stage will look at something called renal replacement therapy. So something that a kind of therapy that will replace the functions of their kidneys. So if you're a nurse and you're looking at GFRs, stage 5 would be under 15 or less, somebody with a GFR of 15 or less. Normal GFR is 120. And when you're kind of suspecting it may be chronic kidney disease, you're looking around 90 to 60. Normally, it's not just like a one-off number. It is attached to symptoms, signs and symptoms. Kind of what I was talking about, like what do normal kidneys do? It's the filtered fluid and formation. So you would look at all of those factors in relation to this blood test. Another super helpful thing that we have is a kidney failure risk evaluation, where you can take somebody with chronic kidney disease that is not in the last stage. And it's a calculation where you put albumin of somebody's urine and their GFR from their blood and some other factors like age. And it will predict how at risk somebody is for chronic kidney disease.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really helpful. Helpful is
super
tool. Yeah. Great. Awesome. Now you mentioned dialysis, I think. Renal. Is that okay for me to, is dialysis the right word? Or should I say renal replacement? Okay. And so I have to admit to you, when I hear about renal nursing or nephrology nursing, what I think about is dialysis. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me a little bit about nephrology nurses? Where do they work? Who are their patients? What sorts of things do they do?
Yeah, I think before I was also in the renal program, that is what I thought of was hemodialysis. We have lots of provincial clinics and services provincially. Within Interior Health, our services lie from Sparwood, which is by the border of Alberta, all the way to Williams Lake, which is like northern BC. The most patients we actually follow in renal is through our kidney care clinic. They used to be called the chronic kidney disease clinic or pre-dialysis clinic. They follow about 3,600 patients.
Wow.
So yeah, so this is everyone like pre-stage 5 or pre-end stage disease. And the nurses working there, their primary function, they have lots of functions, but they really focus on preventing stage 5. So they will help patients navigate modifiable factors like diabetes, blood pressure, avoiding certain medications. And we have a big team, interdisciplinary team. They might refer you to a renal-specific dietitian or social worker. And they may give out information to people about renal replacement therapies. So the renal replacement therapies, again, this is something when your kidneys are not working, you need to replace your kidney with some sort of therapy. We have transplant clinics, and kidney transplant is considered the gold standard of renal replacement therapy.
Okay.
You have to be a candidate, and our clinics in Interior Health follow patients pre-transplant and post-transplant. The transplants right now happen in Vancouver. But the nurses in the transplant clinics will help support patients get there and care afterwards. Mm-hmm. They're following over 500 people in Interior Health right now.
Wow.
Really, really cool. Yeah. The next steps or the next options for patients in stage 5 is dialysis at home. So there are two different kinds of dialysis at home. One is called peritoneal dialysis. Nurses in peritoneal dialysis clinics will help train patients to do PD for short, to do PD. Peritoneal dialysis is really interesting and patients find it really easy to actually do this. But there is a tube that gets inserted into the abdominal cavity and there is membrane, a peritoneal membrane that actually works as a filter very closely to how a kidney would work. Mm-hmm. And so fluid goes in the abdominal cavity, and this is when the filter and fluid, like the diffusion and osmosis happens in the abdominal cavity. The other option is for patients to do hemodialysis at home. So nurses working in home hemo will help train patients on how to do this. So it's different to peritoneal dialysis where you're using fluid. Hemodialysis means that you clean the blood. So you access somebody and blood comes out, it goes through a filter and clean blood goes in. And so patients will learn how to use a hemo machine and do that procedure. Now, the last option, which is the one that I knew about before and you were saying you know about, is the in-center hemodialysis that most people are aware about this one. A hemodialysis center can be attached to a hospital, which is considered an in-center dialysis unit, or not attached to a hospital, which is a community dialysis unit. In these clinics, the nurses normally run the hemodialysis machines and do most of the care. And just an alternative to all of these kinds of renal replacement therapy is conservative care. If somebody does not want to do any of these treatments, the renal program does support that option as well.
Excellent. Great.
Yeah.
So I have some thoughts of my own, but maybe you can tell us why is dialyzing at home better for patients than coming into a facility?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when you come into a facility and do hemodialysis in center, it is quite a time commitment. People have to come in for at least three times a week normally, and an average treatment is 4 hours. So it's not just the time that you have to come in to do those appointments. It's also the rides, getting there, coming back. Patients talk about that they have to rely on other family members and they don't want to, it's like a burden. And people who dialyze at home talk about that they have a lot more freedom than they thought they would. It becomes something like brushing your teeth and just becomes a normal part of their day. They find it easier to travel, and the control is a huge one. Also, when you do home dialysis, you end up doing it every day, so it's a lot more gentle on your body. When you come in almost every other day, the treatment in that day is almost making up for a day, like for two treatments or three treatments in one. So that's why a lot of people will decide to do a dialyze at home instead.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're really giving people their lives back when you give them that option.
It's a huge change in life for when you have end-stage renal disease. So it is nice when, you know, it can be really shocking, and then you see people and they're like, you know what, it's normal now and I'm okay with it and I can handle it. I have control. It's nice to see that.
Oh, great. Can you tell me a little bit about what are some of your favorite things about this area of nursing, maybe about the care or your patients or this particular care area? Are there some things that really have drawn you into this type of work?
Yeah, like I think pre-renal, I was just kind of trying to find my area. I did a lot of different stuff. What I really like about renal is the tenured staff. There are so many people. And again, I will say renal has not been immune to the global nursing shortage, but there are still lots of staff who have been in the renal program that have stayed. And there are lots of staff who come and get trained and who do stay for a long time. And I love drawing from their experiences. They're a wealth of knowledge. I also like the job variance. So you can start in one department. And if you want to move around, it's definitely supported in our program. So if you're bored or you just need like some more learning or whatever you need, it definitely is supported. You don't have to be in one spot when you're in the renal program, which is awesome. I also love the quality improvement. So our network, BC Renal, is very focused on quality improvement and getting solutions that our patients and staff ask for. It's nice to feel supported that way, you know?
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Now, you've really sold it to me. So if there's someone listening today that's thinking, oh, I think that could be for me, I think maybe I want to be a nephrology nurse. What would you suggest as a starting place for them? Is there a course they can take, or how should they go about that?
Yeah, so a common way, and this is how I got into nephrology or hemodialysis nursing, is there are specialty education postings in that are posted on the Interior Health website. The most common posting would be for training within hemodialysis, but there could be some other options for training as well. Normally, this when you take the in-house training, there is a service obligation period that is agreed upon. However, if you want to do something on your own time, on your own dime, I would recommend looking at some accredited nephrology certificates. One that you can look at is through BCIT. It's online and they have a nephrology certificate. So two options. Yeah.
Yeah, those are great options. So everyone look out for the specialty education postings.
Yeah.
And do you have some other favorite resources that you could point interested nurses towards if they wanted to learn more? Is there maybe a great conference you can suggest or a website?
Yeah, we have awesome resources in renal. But the first one I'd recommend is BC Renal. They are our network that we tie into. They have so much information for patients and staff. The other one I would look into is called Kidney Foundation. They have, it's more so patient related. They have lots of information for newly diagnosed people, information like that. And the last one I would recommend is Kidney Wellness Hub. It has very practical advice for kidney patients around eating well. There's classes that you can sign up for. There's even recipes where you can filter out, like, not every renal patient needs a low potassium diet, but if they do with their blood work, they can look for low potassium diet recipes, stuff like that. Super, super handy. There's also like community and peer groups that they can sign up for. So you're not alone. You can talk to somebody going through a similar journey. Very practical advice on mental well-being, staying active, stuff like that. So I'd recommend those three.
Oh, that's great. And it's always nice to know where you can send patients for reliable information. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, that's sure. Great. Thanks.
Okay, so I think we're kind of getting to the end of our time together, Jadine, although we could spend all day together. Is there anything that you really want us to talk about or make sure that nurses heard that we haven't discussed yet before we finish up?
Do you know what? One more quick thing. If you are still wondering about where resources and services are in BC, if you just Google BC Renal Kidney Services, one of the top results is a map and it will show you all the different services within BC.
Great.
And where they're located. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Amazing. I just want to say thank you to you for all the support that you're providing our nurses to care for these patients all over the region. And exactly as you say, access to kidney services can be a real challenge. So your program is doing such fantastic work, and these patients really need special care. And I can really tell from the conversations I've had with you how they have a special place in your heart. So I just want to say thank you for the support that you're doing and for all your whole team, all of your nurses, really important work. And kind of sometimes for those of us not in nephrology, we kind of forget sometimes. So kind of in the shadows, this really important work. So thanks for sharing a little bit with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate that. Of course, I hope you'll come back.
Of course.
Another time we can talk more about kidneys. And I'll just say to everybody, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, please email us at professionalpractice@interiorhealth.ca. I would love to hear from you. And as always, we'd like to thank the Interior Health Professional Practice Office for supporting this project. And many, many thanks to Dwayne Walwin, our sound editor, for doing all of the work behind the scenes.
That's all for this episode. Thank you for joining us today. We know you're busy and your time is valuable. Thank you for spending some of it with us. Thank you for your commitment to your profession and to your patients, and being a part of the journey of building a culture of excellence around nursing in our health region.
Thanks, Jadine. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.